They have selected me here for the book of Colossians, chapter 1. But I'm going to fool you, folks. I'm going to start by asking you to open your Bibles, please, to Romans, chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. And then quickly whip over to Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. While you look for your, that's Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8 through 11. Yeah. Romans 5, 8 through 11. And it reads as follows. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We've been talking a lot about the reconciliation in this conference because of some of the people that have left and into that, if you want to call it a movement, it's not a movement. I'm using the word reconciliation here the way it's supposed to be used. In the book of Romans, the Greek word for reconciled or reconciliation is apokatalasso. And it means that by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been utterly forgiven. And reconciliation has been made for us so that later on we might have the opportunity and grace and blessing and mercy to get saved. And not only saved, but keep on being saved. And I believe that the Lord has so many different plateaus of blessings we can't even understand yet. I believe that from experience. Because I won't go totally into my own personal life. I'll just go by the scriptures. It says that once I was enemy Christ. I just read it. You remember? I know you do. It's fresh. And we were enemies of God. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ himself dug me out and you from the bottom of the barrel. He scraped us out of there to save us from wrath. And that's a fact. And there's more wonderful truths coming as because of that event. Now, I have been tremendously encouraged by those verses of Scripture over 30 years ago. And I still get thrilled reading them because I know it's what happened in my life. It's been just wonderful and terrific. So let's go with me now to Romans 10, 9 through 10. You will love this because you are taking a trip on the Roman road. And it says, and that I will highlight it if it comes from the heart. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth and shalt believe in your heart, the heart of your mind, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Wow. That hit me like a ton of bricks. And I says, what is that? Does that mean that I've got to confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of my life? Really? Is that too much? It's not too much at all. I used to be administrator for the state of New Mexico in charge of generating funds for them from the federal government. And I used to run up and down that elevator, I don't know how many times a day. And each time, it was packed, loaded with people. I thought I was the only one in the world that had ever got saved. I would tell everybody in the elevator, you know that I received Jesus Christ today and I got saved. Who is this guy? You know?
Yeah.
Who is this guy? And this happened not only once, but every single day, I'd say for about a year. I'm going to put this aside for just a minute. And it's a longer story than that. I had kind of a little bit of pull with the governors that I worked for, a few governors. And I asked them if I could have, it's called the retirement board auditorium. And I put a bulletin board. Ed Madrado from the state planning office is having a Bible study at the PERA retirement board auditorium. People come from all over, Catholics, Baptists, all over the place, because everybody knew me. I'm from Santa Fe, and I had the reputation of being an athlete. And so, you get to know the whole town. Santa Fe was bigger than White South Dakota. And and I enjoyed White because it's so peaceful and nice. You know, you've been there, man. So anyway, up and down that elevator, I just got saved. I really thought I was the only one in the world that ever got saved. But after a while, I knew better. And people would ask me, what's going on with you in your life, Eddie? Did you go wild about God, or did somebody put something in your tea or something? Or did you drink a strong cocktail and you're under the influence? And, well, I used to do that, but I don't anymore. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story. At the auditorium, I had met Kathy at some of those meetings that we had at the auditorium, and all I preached was salvation. And I just gave you Timothy. Did you say Timothy was a crybaby? Well, for the right thing, you can cry, I think. But I'll say Romans 5 and Romans 10. Just pull the string for me. So keep it in mind. And you know, it has done wonders for many, many people. And today it's doing it for me again. And I think if now on my wife really knows what gets me. So she'll probably pull out Romans for me and she'll know how to win me again. Just kidding, honey. Okay, Colossians chapter 1 consists first of a salutation by Paul. And that would take chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. If you'll go there for me. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a beautiful salutation by the Apostle Paul. I'm going to be using this structure that I pulled out of the Companion Bible. And I'm going to utilize it for the purpose of going through chapter 1 of Colossians. But before I go to the next phase of the salutation, there is what is called parallel or echo, if you will, in the other chapters. I'm only doing chapter 1. I think Sunday I can finish off with my second presentation and finish up there by going into not only Colossians chapter 1, but Colossians chapter 3 and 4. I will cover the bewares that Paul left for as precautionary measures for us as to what to watch out for and how to walk after you. This is rightly dividing the word of truth. So we know that we're talking to the church of the one body here. And I don't want to hear anybody call me a Christian anymore. Right, Cal? Right, buddy. I agree with you there. In my experience in witnessing to people, I walked into Nala selling advertising. I'm way from the Santa Fe job that I used to have as an administrator. I was selling advertising for my own business that I have today. It's just a small advertising business. I went to this garage, and there was a few men working there. They were charismatic. And I was talking about, I saw some signs, Jesus is Lord and all this. Oh, you guys know Jesus? They know Jesus. And well, so do I. I'm a Christian. You're a Christian? You're not a Christian, because the word Christian doesn't appear in the scripture. I said, yes, it does. You look at Acts 16:25, I recognized it just like that. When you give us the scripture, that's got the word Christian in it. I bet he's going to talk about that. And so that's the one I gave him, 16:25. The word Christian is there. No, it's not. Well, go get your Bible, you'll see it. Well, sure enough, it's there. So then we called the big boss. He told us the word Christian wasn't in the scripture. And it is. He just showed us. So anyway, I was glad to hear you say that, because we really are not Christians, because right away you will be mistaken for somebody in gigantic Christendom. And I like that presentation that Hal made about that today. And to have the nerve and courage and the enlightenment from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who enlightens us, I was so glad to hear it, because I was, I wouldn't have realized that it was something to remind folks of that are in right division, mystery. Well, what do you want to call yourself? Well, you just call yourself a member of the church of the one body. That's it. And continue on heralding the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, heralding. High and lift it up. If anybody, for some reason or other, mentions his name, Jesus Christ, like in a bad sense, or you know how people say Jesus Christ just unknowingly, do something about it. Well, in selling advertising, you know, you go into an establishment or a restaurant, and they're really good at buying advertising. They have pool tables. Some guy will say, well, Jesus Christ, you know, and I says, praise his name. Just like that. Confess him with your mouth. Romans chapter 5, Roman road. And See, reconciliation really is not salvation. So if any of these guys are with a universal reconciliation, it's if that's what they want to be, they still have yet to go another step to get saved. I just read that. Apokatalasso is not salvation. Salvation is soterion. Yeah. So if we know that much, we can. The battle is won for us. The battle already started, but we have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ and His word rightly divided. We have the victory. And if it sounds like it's too good to be true with all the wonderful rewards, can you imagine saints going into the Holy of Holies? Not here on earth like the Jews they had a Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. No, not that tabernacle. It's the real one where the Lord Jesus Christ sits today. In the Holy of Holies, or the holy place. That's your place of abode. Amen. And I want to get to that a little bit later on to give it a little polish. It's not just that easy to describe and to enjoy. But that is actually where we are going. That is, and you are a temple of the Holy Ghost. You are a temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Living stones, not made with hands, made by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So before we go to the next next phase of the structure, which is verses 3 through 8, I would like to, first of all, start with the manifold nature of the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as the theme of the conference says. I think it's a wonderful theme. I think it glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that I've got the book of Colossians. If I'd have had the book of 2 Timothy like Bob, if I'd have had Ephesians, or any of the other prison epistles, I'd be no more glad than I am to have the book of Colossians. That's an assignment. It's a beautiful book, as they all are in the prison epistles. And the beauty of it is when you knit them together, and they all just come together to make nothing but good, wonderful, divine sense. It is great. It is great. In the book of Colossians, we have some key words, and they're as follows. I'm going to jump away from the chapter 1 only because it's necessary to make the message complete. In the key words of Colossians 1:25 are oikonomia, which means dispensation. In 1:26, the mystery, mysterion. In 1:19, the fullness, pleroma. In 2:19, kephali, Christ the head. In 1:24, the ecclesia, which is the church of the one body. And it talks about in 1:16 about principalities and power. All those items that I just mentioned right there are also in the book of Ephesians. But I'm not taking any thunder away from dear brother Ronnie here, because I just know that when Ronnie comes up, he'll be talking about those things. I call the book of Colossians the sister book or epistle of Ephesians. It's so precious to know that. It's nice to know that. It's nice to know that when you have in Christendom they call them devotions on Sunday morning and Wednesday night devotions, and for the real strong Baptists. But they're really not devotions. You're having fellowship, really, with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not having communion where they put a wafer in your mouth and this communion, or they give you a little spot of tea or wine or whatever it is to drink down that wafer or a piece of bread. That's communion? No, that's not communion. Communion is like when Moses went to the Lord and he communed with God. Communion. Communed with Him. Communicated with Him. That's what we do. That's our communion. That's not a devotion. That's our communion. We are admonished by the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious word, to pray for the saints. The saints in Iowa, the saints in Chicago, Indiana, the saints in Boscobel, the saints in Virginia, the saints in West St. Paul, Milwaukee, in White, South Dakota. Pray for the saints in Iowa. Pray for the saints. The reason I say that is because we need prayer. And the reason I say that again, it's communing with God. He is ready. He's got a ready ear to hear you. He loves to hear from us as we pray. There's power in prayer. I wouldn't even start to try to enumerate the prayers that the Lord has answered for my family. Because, again, we were alienated from God, just like you were before. But when you become a son of God, by adoption, by grace, entitled to all the rewards, to win Christ, to gain Christ, it's a tremendous privilege. You're wide open and free to pursue that skopan, the goal for the brabion, the prize of the high calling of God. You are eligible and qualified through Jesus Christ our Lord for a position like that. And it's a position out of this world. Heaven above all heavens. It sounds too good to be true. And it would be if God had not said it. That's right. It's terrific. Okay. I want to go a little bit farther before I go into chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. I'd like to go to verse 28. I'm going to take a real leap forward to verse 28. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We discussed some words last night in the Greek class about the word perfect. Teleos. Teleos is complete or perfect in Christ Jesus. And it works only in Christ Jesus. It's the only way. There's no other way around that. And let's see, I'll just read it here first. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Okay, there's two presentations, let's say Jesus Christ himself, he makes a presentation. And at the presentation, and Paul also makes a presentation. So, and that presentation, you are it. You're the one being presented to God. And I don't know if that's the time that the Lord will hand out the rewards. I don't know. It's not revealed. The only thing that I see about crowns and prizes is in the book of Philippians, and when Paul finally obtained it, when he had run the race and and kept the faith and fought the good fight. And that's where we know that Paul had attained it. And that's, I won't go much into that either, because that's 2 Timothy, and I'd rather let Bob, he studied more on for this conference. Well, that's verse 28. Okay, you can jump on a parallel passage there to verse 22. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which we have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. All right, here's where a lot of church members of the Church of the One Body get a little mixed up. Paul actually did not preach to every single creature under heaven. It's impossible for him to do that. Erase that from your mind. He preached it to every creature under heaven in the mystery. See? You stick to the mystery, and you're not going to go wrong at all if we stick to the mystery. What else does he say in verse 22 there? In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That is so rich to me. That's holy and unblameable. That's like when the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. He had to be the perfect Lamb, because there's nobody more perfect than the Lord Jesus Christ. Pure blood. And by that blood, that still is cleansing today, by the way. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It cleansed then. It's cleansing now. Terrific. In the body of his flesh, when his flesh was pierced, many things happened. I know you know, because you've read the scripture. When his side was pierced, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. There was an earthquake, and the rocks did rent, and the graves did open up. That had to be somebody pretty powerful and pretty important to mankind. Because that's where we were saved, folks. I don't know how far I could take it, but I can really say with all free conscience, the Lord was crucified since before the foundation of the world. You take that back with the Lord Jesus. You died with Christ, and you were buried with Christ. When you died with Christ, you were saved. You died with Christ, and you also were saved since before the foundations of the world. That's the way I see it. And that's the way it's delivered in the Word of God. And it's good to explore it. If anything at all, if there's any doubt at all, you explore it. You explore it and look up the words in your concordance and get an interlinear, whatever. And you'll find it in the prison epistles. You'll find it there. Just search for it. This is part of the book of Colossians and 2 Timothy and the prison epistles. In the body of his flesh, through death. For what purpose? No longer to keep you from wrath. You know that's already happened. There's no wrath coming to you, folks. No wrath at all coming to you, folks. None. Because you've been utterly, utterly forgiven. Somebody emphasized that today, and my heart just jumps. When I hear somebody say that, it's just terrific.
Blesses my heart in the body of flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, and not only unblameable, but unreprovable. Nobody can accuse you of any sin. Unaccusable. Who can lay charge to even one of mine elect, saith the Lord? That's in fact what he said. You can't charge him with anything. Washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're eligible for the rewards. You adopted son, soon glorified. If you're buried with Christ, you're not only crucified with Christ, that takes you back to Romans also. Romans chapter 6. Reckon yourself to be crucified with Christ. And you're raised and to walk in the newness of life. That's what makes you a new creation. See? Not Romans, but that's also in the book of Colossians later on. That's not in chapter 1. But that is so. You've seen that chart of Dr. Welch. Not Charlie, Dr. Welch. It's a little ladder. It's got rungs on it. And he descended so that we may ascend with him. Crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, quickened with Christ. Okay, quickened with Christ. Quickened with Christ is now. What does quickened mean, somebody, anybody? Made alive, thank you. That's great. You are made alive today as we speak. You have been quickened with Christ. If so be that you've been crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, made alive, raised, potential. That's potential. But it's sure. It's sure. Raised with Christ. And what else is sure? Next one. Huh? What? You said it. Seated with Christ. Where? At the right hand of the Father. Right? Amen. That's right. Boy, that's something to gloat about and shout about and be proud about. And every tear wiped away. And you talk about joy. Kara. Joy. Amen. In the glorified body. And I can tell you how he did it. But I'm not going to tell you until I want Mike to make a note of it, because he's going to give us a summation. Oh, okay. Just me? Okay. I'm going to wait for my summation to tell you. And that'll be Sunday. That's tomorrow, right? Yeah. Tomorrow. I want to wait for that. Okay. We talked about teleon, which is the Greek form for complete or perfect. This is a simple form with several components to it. The component for blessedness, the component would be teleotetos, which means that word now becomes from perfect to perfectness. And that perfectness comes with, in a phrase, that love is the bond of perfectness. Doesn't that make beautiful sense? Love, the love of God, agape love, is the bond. The bond binds you and God
and your perfectness together. And that is later on. I've got some scriptures here, but it takes me beyond the into somebody else's territory. So we're going to skip that. But you're going to get it. All this in preparation or readiness, okay. All this I've been talking about here is all to get us ready in our preparedness. Through all the suffering of that garden that you had there on the screen, all that clipping and gnawing and long suffering of all that belongs to you. Because that's what actually is happening to us. Think it not strange for those fiery trials which is to try you, the Word of God says. But rejoice in your partakers in Christ's sufferings. Count it joy. Count it joy. I recently counted joy, and it seemed like the Lord lifted off that burden that I had. Not just once, more than once. And believe me, I get them by the ton sometimes. But I don't feel sorry for myself. I'm learning to rejoice in the Lord. Paul said that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Hey, let's learn to rejoice. The Lord is true to His Word. And He'll lift off and take away that burden. And He'll tell you, let's get rid of that one. Get ready for another one. And it's not anything scary. Because He's going through it right along with you. How He does that, I don't know. He's God. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. Omnipotent. He is all those things. Those are the things that Mike meant when he says, I want to know and what you got about under the manifold nature and work, divine work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you getting enough of it, Mike? I think so. From all these guys, not just this one. All these guys that are here before me. Every one of them has got pearl after pearl after pearl for you of God's work. Reconciliation, salvation, glorification, sanctification. Not to say fortification. Comfort. He's your comforter, your paraclete, your arbitrator. You got the best lawyer in the whole wide world. Who can lay charge against one of God's elect? Who is no one? Nobody's going to see or going to try to even examine to see if you have anything blamable or unreprovable. All you got to say, well, the Lord said it. And that settles it to me. A long time ago, there was a sign on a license plate. The Bible said it. I read it. I believe it. It didn't make much sense. But I read that before I got saved. Well, that sounds pretty good. Well, I know it's good now. All right, let's see. We'll go to verse 4. Verse 4 of Colossians. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which we have to all the saints, I'm going to go to 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. I'm going to stop there and I'll take over again on verse. No, I'll go 6 and then go to 7. 6 is which is common to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it does also in you since the day we heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. That knew the grace of God in truth really grabs your attention, and it can really take your heart by Paul who wrote it. Because he uses the word epigonosco. And that's knowledge of the grace of God. Do you have knowledge of the grace of God?
bet you do. I bet you do. Which has come unto you as it is in the whole world, in all the world. That's the world of those in the mystery again, throughout the world. I don't care where they're at. For the hope of sin. Which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it does in all, as it also in you, since the day ye heard it. That word heard has the word acoustics in it. It's acousantes. Acousantes. You can see the acoustic word there, see? And that means your ears, since you've heard it. Having heard it, that means the Lord has given you an ear to hear. And He's the one in charge of those acoustics. He can cause you to hear. He can cause you to acquire zeal for you to say it without shame. Without shame. Do you think I'd be standing here before somebody who's not saved, and there are a bunch of people, politicians out there, and here I am telling them what has happened to me in my life, and all the things that I've done, and praising the Lord here and everything? You know what they do? They throw rocks at me, and they'll probably put me on a stretching machine like they did Paul. Who do you think you are telling me that communion is bad? You know. Well, it's not bad, it's just don't have to do it anymore. Those ordinances and what else you call them? Ordinances and washings and rituals? Yeah, what else? Anybody? Yeah, diverse washings. All those were nailed to the stake, to the xulon we discussed. And in the past, they used to take, at least back in England, according to Dr. Welch again, he said back then when they had it was customary to enlist a lumber bill or a building bill or something to show the community that thing was paid. They would cut on the board and put a nail in it. Paid. That's what the Lord did to all those washings and ordinances and religious activities, you know, they've been nailed, and the price has been paid. We don't have to genuflect anymore as we pass through the middle of an altar or kiss a statue or anything like that. That's silly. To be silly now, but before, it was what the priests, they're still priests, you know, but they're really not priests, because the Lord doesn't need priests today. This is the dispensation of the mystery. This is the administration of God, the economy of God of the mystery. That's what it's all about. And there's no religion there. Religion is bondage. Not pure religion. Pure religion is in the book of James. And that's good. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction and the need, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Try that religion. Pure religion. If we did that, I don't think the Lord would get mad at us. I think he doesn't get mad at us. But I mean, I don't think he would object if we did pure religion, to visit the orphans and the widows, to visit those people that are dying in New Orleans, help them out a little bit, give them a couple of coins, because they're getting a lot of money from, like Walmart gave them $15 million. Well, we're not Walmart, I'm not, but I'd be more than glad to give them $5, send it to the Red Cross, $10. At least now I'd like to give them more, because I feel like I should, but I can't. If I had the funds, I certainly would. I've got children in college that are pretty expensive, but that's beside the point. But pure, we're talking about pure religion and undefiled.
I like that a little better than religion. He said, time's up.
That wasn't
Time.